Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk about things like high upside and great motors.
I would not take a quarterback there. Probably get one of those receivers. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle to bookend.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the radio program here on a Feel Good Friday, a Fast Break Friday.
Ooh.
There's golf on the TV, so it's a Flop Shot Friday.
It's always a Flop Shot Friday this time of year.
A full checking into the boards Friday.
You're damn right. Game one of the conference finals tonight in Spokane. Bring it on, Chiefs.
There you go. Game one. Game one.
Starts tonight.
Start of the series.
It all starts tonight.
I knew that. I was quizzing you.
You're making sure. Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready for the quiz. Throw the quiz at me. I'm ready. I'll answer your questions.
Well, I'm ready for an apology.
Okay, what are we apologizing for?
I want to start the second hour of that.
Let's get the truth out there. Lay your cards on the table.
Neither of you know what I'm talking about.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Right?
Okay.
Nah, yesterday, assuming I was paying attention.
I don't text anyways, let alone apologies. Never waver.
I called Dirt the other day, probably 40 minutes after work. To clarify something, he didn't answer. He didn't call me back.
Exactly.
I waited 3.5 hours, so I text him. I said, hey, D-Face. And then he responded, and I went, okay, all right.
Well. I got to be honest with you. I didn't see that call. I don't know how. I just, like, didn't even notice it. Later in the day, I think I was calling my wife, and there was your name in red, and I was like, wait a minute. Did Sprint call me? When did you call me? I think this was after you had texted, so we had already corresponded via text, and I was like, I didn't see that at all.
I got home, and I saw my wife, and I went, I think Dirt is the worst human being to own a phone, and my wife goes, no, his wife is.
Yeah, we trade off who's worse.
That's true. I always forget. His wife is awful with a phone.
She's worse than I am.
She's terrible with her phone.
All the time, man.
Anyways, yesterday I admitted I was wrong on something I had done on the show. And then I feel like I watched the draft and I had a little bit of backing and support of the take that I kind of apologized and backed down to. And so I was expecting on your guys' end a bit of an apology.
You going offensive linemen are dumb? Is that your angle here?
No, no.
Are we back on that take again?
I never said they were dumb. I was impersonating a lineman.
Oh, I'm stupid. I'm dumb.
You know, I just want to block and make sure everything's good.
There was a lot of that
and
yesterday.
You guys were like, oh, you think they're dumb? And I was like, well, are they really that entertaining? And then we rattled off names and I said, look, there are names that we can name.
Yes.
And then Will Campbell got interviewed. And I want you to hear Will Campbell talking. And see if you owe me an apology.
Man, I'm super excited to get up to Foxborough and meet all of y'all. I can't wait for, you know, this next part of my journey with y'all. I'm super excited. Go Pats.
Okay, first off, a little unfair to him because his on-TV interview was way better than
his NFL Network interview. He cried.
He cried.
So his way better thing, he just cried.
Mike Vrabel's going to get me to run through a wall.
I'll protect everything you got with my life.
I actually am a big Will Campbell fan.
I got little alligator arms.
He went to a camp at 14 at LSU. He wanted to be a Tiger forever. He got dominated, and he cried the entire car ride back to Colorado because he was like, I'm never letting this happen again.
That's a long car ride.
Yeah, well, his family cut a vacation short. Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't to college. Wherever he lived, he cut a vacation short to go to this camp, and they drove him to it. And then he got absolutely obliterated at the camp, so he cried the whole way home. It's a great story. Is this not how I sounded yesterday and I got made fun of for it?
Man, I'm super excited to get up to Foxborough and meet all of y'all. I can't wait for, you know, this next part of my journey with y'all.
Go Pats.
I'm super excited. Go Pats.
I mean, I'm rooting for, but is there any?
Never waver. Never waver. Never apologize.
No,
those are my mottos in life. Okay, never.
Right.
He had a tight fit, though.
He did. He looked good.
You know who dressed?
He looked good.
To be the number four pick in the NFL draft?
That's right.
My man.
That's right.
Will Campbell.
Him and his little arms.
It's a nice green jacket.
Heading to the NFL. Little arm Will. That's what we're going to call him now.
There was some internet images where he was running Swigarden in his LSU like football getup, and the internet shrunk his arms. And so, he mean. Looks like a running T-Rex almost.
Ah, don't worry. He can't grab you anyways, man. He's got little tiny arms.
He had a funny story. He was working out for the Pats. He kind of knew he was going to New England.
Yeah. That seemed like a pretty obvious pre-draft pick.
And I guess it's a polarizing pick in Boston. Like, there's people not happy about it.
Is it just because of his arms or for other reasons? He was pretty damn good in college.
What are they?
Me and my brother are Niners and Cowboys fans, okay? So we're like enemies in some ways.
Yes.
We were texting because our teams were drafting right next to each other.
Back to back, yeah.
And so he's like, who do you want him to take? And I said, Williams or Nolan. And he was like, well, what about Walker? I'm like, I like Walker, but I think I like Williams a little more, and I like Walter Nolan's upside. They take Williams. And then I said, who's your team going with? I can't read the room.
They're all over the board.
And he starts rattling off defensive edge rushers and linemen.
Nope.
Tyler Booker.
Or offensive guard.
Is it Tyler
offensive,
Booker?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, guard.
Anyways.
And some pundits don't like him at all. And I'm like, well, he's sure up an offensive line. And we were both talking, like, even if you think the offensive lineman's good, it's so unexciting as a fan.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
When your team takes the big heavy. Like, yeah, we need this. It's important. I like the flashy guy, though. I like the guy who's going to score the tutties. And so there's a little bit of in Boston. I think they want some more tutties in their life.
This is what Jacksonville's thinking. Let's take the flashy guy. This is going to generate some excitement.
Well,
it's
a buzz. I think the receivers and running backs are ready to come off the board today.
There'll be a lot of them today.
In the first round, running backs. I have no idea.
Yeah, there were two of them. I have no clue how the offensive linemen are going to do in the NFL. I'm never going to criticize a team for taking an offensive lineman. It is the most
boring
draft pick humanly possible. 100%. I totally understand that takeaway. You just drafted a quarterback with the, third overall pick a year ago? Like, do you need? You need weapons for him and you need to protect him. Yeah. So they settled one. Now go find some weapons.
Yeah.
Sure.
Same with
Seattle. Like, I have no clue if that kid from North Dakota State is going to be any good. He had a funny joke about
Sam
Bush
Darnold
lights. Like,
every chance to be.
They have a horrible track record drafting offensive linemen, so that would make me a little fearful. But that was the only choice. If you're not trading out, you had to take an offensive lineman.
Gray Zabel, Colston Loveland. Country.
Oh,
they are country.
Country.
There are elk heads on that wall, man.
I was starting to get excited. Tyler Warren might slip all the way, and then the Colts happened.
Yeah, Colts took him.
That was one of the bigger surprises, I would say, of last night. Because I watched the first five or so picks live, was doing something, and then pop back in at like pick nine, and I'm like trying to catch up. Like, all right, where did Warren go? And I'm like, ooh.
No, he's still there.
And then Chicago was on, like right when I walked back in the room, it was the Bears. And I'm like, oh, this would be a great fit if they take it. And then they went with the other tight end.
Yeah.
To not have Warren be the number one tight end off the board was one of the biggest surprises of the night,
but
I thought.
Loveland was highly thought of.
He was highly thought of, too. And he was different than Tyler Warren, but no, Harbaugh made a total Harbaugh pick.
I love Hampton. I mean, you know, he seems like he's a pretty good pick.
Bell Cow running
back.
They're running
the football.
Their running game was anemic last year.
Well, you got Harris now, and you got Hampton, so it makes sense. They want to run the football.
Can you just get one? Can we take a wide receiver at some point? Just at some point.
They have to.
Take one more wide receiver. Take a flyer on a kid.
Here's what I was going to say. Your lineman point is accurate. There might be, and I don't mean this disrespectfully in any way, there might only be one person on our radio station qualified to give real opinion on offensive linemen.
Yes.
And that's the one who actually played.
Right? The position. Yes.
Like, offensive linemen, I don't know. How do you even study the tape?
He's big.
He was great.
Where does he play?
Alabama. Yeah. All right. So there's four other guys helping him out.
He's
anyways.
Got studs everywhere.
It's hard to say who's good on the offensive line. There was one team that didn't go offensive line. And they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and they had a top 10 pick, and they went wide receiver.
They did.
And that's the Carolina Panthers taking McMillan, and there are a lot of people kind of trashing him for it.
Yeah. A bit of a head scratcher.
Look, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? It's back to the same point with New England. Who is Carolina's number one wide receiver? Who's the best weapon for Bryce Young?
Exactly.
I mean,
so look,
but your
I understand
was
it.
Awful.
Your defense was terrible. That's fine. My main priority.
You could have gotten Nolan. You could have gotten Williams.
My thought process, if I'm Carolina at this point, is how do we salvage the Bryce Young thing? And a better defense will help you win more football games. There is no doubt. It'll keep you in more games. How do I make him turn into a guy that we feel like is a franchise quarterback? He was benched last year. He came back in. I don't know where they stand on him, but in the second half of the year, he did play better football. And so if I'm Carolina, I have no issue with the pick. I'm trying to salvage that. He has never had anybody to throw the football to. And so let's go get a guy who I loved watching at Arizona. He fell off the radar, similar to their entire football team a little bit this year. It didn't quite live up to the expectations. He still had a very good season. He's one of the most physically impressive wide receivers we've seen in a while. Like, that kid has the ability to be a stud. And if he turns into a true number one weapon for Carolina, I don't think anybody's going to be hand-wringing over the pick that you made there, not going defense. You got plenty of time to address your defense. Goal number one has to be make life easier for your young quarterback, and that's the hope that McMillan can do.
Did you have, like, was there any big shocking surprise outside of the Hunter trade? Was there a pick, where you hear it or you see it and you go, huh, okay.
Not really, to be honest with you.
That was a big one for people. The Panthers going wide receiver when their defense blows.
Yeah, look, I get why that was
but
a surprise.
Your explanation of salvaging Bryce Young and who's their best target. And
They picked up Adam Thielen to be a
yeah, they needed him to be good last year, and he was okay. He wasn't awful.
Fine.
But
you know, what are
he's
we doing?
Old.
What are we doing, man?
He's old.
Yeah, I don't think there was any other. I mean, the only other one that I mentioned was I was pretty shocked that Tyler Warren fell to 14. I'm in love with Tyler Warren. I think that kid's going to be a monster at the next level. He can do everything. You can put him in different spots. Huge fan of his game. And so the fact that he fell out of the top 10 was a bit surprising to me.
I really like what the Falcons did. They got two D linemen.
Yeah, that's another interesting one, though. Was trading back into the back half of the first round worth next year's first round pick?
Remember,
their defense was terrible. They needed edge rushers. I get it.
Yes, they needed in the worst way. And James Pierce going into last year's college football season
was thought of as
the guy. Yeah. And then he didn't have that great of a season. And so people, they knocked him down a little bit.
Yeah, it was just about the amount that you had to pay. I don't hate them going and getting two defensive linemen because, again, their defense was horrendous last year. So they needed to upgrade there. That's just another one. Like, we're all assuming Atlanta has a good season. Michael Penix is going to step in and be the starter. We all know that.
Yeah.
But that's a question mark. We don't know how they're going to be this year. The division is interesting. Maybe Carolina's a little more feisty this season. New Orleans probably is going to be terrible this year, but I like what Tampa did. They got another weapon for Baker, so they might win.
Tampa,
right?
I loved that.
Dude,
pick.
His haul of weapons that he has to work with now is an incredibly impressive haul. Yeah. So that's the only thing that I'll point to it with Atlanta. I don't mind getting Pierce, but man, given to move into 26, they traded to get the 26th pick, and they gave up next year's number one for it.
Well, if he ends up hitting, though.
I know.
If Penix is what they think he is.
And let's say Penix isn't what they say he is, and you win six games next year, and you just gave the Rams a top 10 pick in next year's draft.
Yeah.
So for L.A., I love it because they're kind of in this weird, we're trying to win, but also Stafford's old, but they got two first-round picks next year for the Rams. I love that.
The Rams are going to go defense. You can clearly see what they're doing. Yeah. They did it last year in the draft. It paid dividends for them. Stafford did not have a great year. They're going to hope for the best in one more year with Nacua. And then just lean into the defense that's what the NFL is now, right? It's like, get your defensive line right. I thought it was funny. The Bengals defense was just absolute garbage. And the defensive edge rusher they chose was the most controversial.
the one
that could maybe
never
be
really did anything
bust.
In college,
didn't
but he's got
anything.
The body.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, man.
There you go, Cincinnati. That'll replace the NFL sack leader.
Let's talk a little bit. We'll get into the Oregon picks. Harmon landed in Pittsburgh, and Connerly is a Commander. Great landing spot for Connerly.
That's a great fit.
And then the quarterback controversy. Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders. Talk about some of that stuff next on The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
terrified Walter Nolan's going to wreck my 49ers offensive line next year.
That's
hated
always
that
the
they
fear.
Got him.
That's the thing. Whenever you draft a guy and then you look at certain players that you could have taken at the same position or similar positions and how they're going to do, that's the comp that always takes place.
Packers took a wide receiver for the first time in the first round since 02.
Love that. I mean, a guy who, you know, just can't miss prospects. Of all the drafts to take a wide receiver in the first round, this is the one to do it if you're Green Bay.
No, wait. Is that an accurate? Did I read that or hear that right?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
When was Adams taken then? Was he a second, third rounder guy?
He was not. Nah, yeah, let me see.
He was good out of Fresno State. I knew of his name.
He was good.
I heard that last night when they took Matthew Golden.
He was drafted, pulling up his page.
Maybe I misheard.
He was in the second round of the 2014 draft.
So that's the first receiver they've taken in the first round.
Yeah.
Christian
took
Watson,
them hosting a draft to take a wide receiver in the first round, evidently.
Christian Watson's dad not happy about this pick. Teammate of Matthew Golden.
Dads, let's just stay out of sports, you know? Let's just stay out of our kids. You know, what are we doing? Stay out of the business. Enjoy their success. Why is that necessary? Why is that a headline that is created? You know what I did take away, one of my big takeaways from last night? Sometimes I get jealous as a sports fan because we don't have a lot of nice things in our city, and I'd like to have more nice things. But if I could die and respawn in another person's life, you know, or like a different setting or situation, being born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and like living in the neighborhood around Lambeau would be so badass.
I think it's overrated.
It's an NFL stadium in a neighborhood. Like, these people walk to an NFL game. You can just see it. You're, like, barbecuing in your backyard.
You think they're happy about what's been happening to their town for, like, the last week?
I think they're thrilled. I think there were people who were making a crazy amount of money, dude.
$100 million.
Do you see the video? Or there was videos of people who were just putting up signs of, like, hey, you want to come park and tailgate in our driveway?
They had,
pay us a couple $100. You come park here. Like,
they had driveway fires.
Dude, so, like, how cool? Like, that's just your backyard. Ah, there's Lambeau. There's the Packers. Go Pack, go. You live and breathe it. It's your entire life. I'm incredibly jealous of that sports fandom.
Have you been to Green Bay?
I've never been to Green Bay.
I think you'd change your opinion if you went to Green Bay.
I think you'd change your opinion if there was an NFL team in your backyard.
I mean, I'd be happy to have an NFL team in my backyard.
Yeah, who doesn't want to be able to walk to an NFL game?
It's 2 degrees half the year.
Thank you. It's beautiful in the summer.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Do you know that?
It definitely is.
Feels like it's muggy.
It looks
swampy.
Well,
it was chilly last night. I know that for
chilly,
that.
It was chilly, but like it was
48.
Nice.
Good for you. I don't share that opinion.
Wow.
That's bad take.
I think we got to take away your gridiron club card here.
Why?
I think you're on Team Gridiron. You don't want an NFL team.
Gridiron.
I know. You don't want an NFL team.
In Portland,
your
Oregon, I do. I don't want to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
No, you wouldn't know any better. You'd be from
take
Green Bay.
Take away my gridiron card. I started the gridiron
fake
project.
Fake gridiron guy. Fake gridiron
you
fan.
You want baseball. You want to fall asleep in the sixth inning because you're a hot dog overdose.
So, yeah. So, they say in 2025, population in Green Bay, 104,726.
Give me a comp in Oregon. Is there
Hillsboro is now at
111,000. That'd be so cool.
Let's talk about the quarterback stuff.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We got Howard Beck at the bottom of the hour. Shador not taken first round. I was wrong. The under hit.
The under did hit.
Just two.
Yeah.
For a while, maybe only one until the very end of the first round.
Giants traded back in at 25 with
Houston. Did you think that was going to be Shador when they made that trade?
I knew it was going to be a quarterback.
Okay.
No. The minute that kid put out a dart video, I went, this GM got punked by his kid last year.
Shane smoking a dart.
I think his kid made that pick. You want me to be honest with you? You want another take? Cam Ward didn't dress for the occasion to be number one pick. I think Joe Shane's kid, Carson Shane,
you think Carson
made that
Shane
pick.
Is running
yes.
the Giants organization?
Yeah.
Shadow government in the New York Giants front office. Is that what you're
Brick,
telling me?
If Brick
the deep
Johnson
state of the Giants.
Is this angels in the outfield for the Giants?
I think it is. He's out here.
If Brick Johnson's running the Jets,
smoke a dart, smoke
Carson
a dart.
Shane's running the Giants. New York currently run by teenagers.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
All right.
I
crypto bros
it.
And teenagers. That's who runs New York City, baby.
Yeah.
When they traded back in, I did have a feeling it was going to be Dart. And I'm just fascinated. Here's Brian Daboll on his thoughts on getting Jackson Dart.
There's a process, too, when he gets here in terms of developing this player. I don't expect him to know everything right off the bat. It's a hard position to play, a hard position to coach. But he has the traits that we look for and covet in a guy to be able to learn and grow.
And here's Jeremy Fowler on Shador slipping out of round one.
Most teams I talked to had a second round grade on him. So it's hard from a value standpoint to take a player like that in the top three. I still thought that he would go somewhere in the first just because of the pedigree and his ability and his accuracy and decision-making. So I think even the Browns are probably pretty surprised. I do think the Browns thought he was going to go round one, and I think many teams thought that. You know, most teams I talked to thought there would be three quarterbacks in round one, and Jackson, Dart, and Shador would be two of them.
I'm just curious, man. He certainly has physical things that you could point to as quote-unquote weaknesses or question marks.
Mm-hmm.
He also did a lot in college, and I know for year one in Colorado, record-wise, doesn't look amazing. He did a lot in college at two different places, and the end result was winning. And again, I'm giving you a trait that isn't always identifiable with numbers or the sole reason he had Hunter with him.
Yeah.
But his accuracy, he's just a winner. And I was a little surprised he didn't get taken in the first round. Giants, Browns, somebody. I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I had gotten to the point where yesterday, I think I said on the show, I was going to take the under on quarterbacks. This just seemed to be the smoke out there the day of the draft.
A lot of noise about him not
You never
picked.
Know when the smoke is going to be real or not, right? That's the hard part about the lead into the draft. But there was a build up there where it felt like his over-under on where he was going to get picked was dropping like a stone in Vegas. And the odds of him being not even a first-round pick were a little glaring. And usually when Vegas knows something, Vegas knows something. And so that stood out to me. I'm not surprised. I think there's a lot of good traits about Shador Sanders. His accuracy is definitely one of them. I think his toughness is one that we should never question, what he went through with horrible offensive lines at Colorado and taking hit after hit after hit and always getting up and being back in the play. Coaches who played against him said good things about him. His teammates said good things about him. I also look at him and I think he's a little undersized. I don't think there's a over-the-top, blow-you-away athletic trait that you would point to. I don't think he has the strongest arm in the world. And so you tell me a guy like that goes in the second round, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't have been surprised if Jackson Dart went in the second round. There just also was a lot of smoke that maybe the Giants liked him and they were going to trade. Once they traded into 28, you're like, all right, that's going to probably be Jackson Dart. They're going to take a quarterback here. I think Shador will be off the board very quickly in the second round, probably tonight, maybe even with the Browns with one of their first I got, two of the first three or four picks to open up the night tonight. So I wouldn't be shocked if it went early for him, but I'm also not surprised that he was still on the board after last night.
What's your prediction real quick, and then we'll go to Howard Beck. What team is going to take him?
Because
the Browns have two of the first four. The Titans aren't taking him. The Texans
Titans
aren't
are not,
taking him.
No.
Is it the Raiders at 37?
I think the Raiders at 37 makes sense.
Set him for a year. You see what Geno does if he stays healthy.
I think the Raiders are the Browns are obviously a good candidate. Two of the first four picks. The Raiders have the fifth pick tonight. That's a candidate.
Saints are 40.
The Saints at 40 is a good candidate. Hell, even the Jets at 42.
Jets at 42.
They've got Justin Fields. I don't know what the hell they're doing long term.
Yeah.
So I would look at one of those teams to likely make a move. And then there's also the possibility that you get somebody that trades in.
What about
right?
the Rams at 46?
Wants to slide in.
Sit for a year or two?
There's a lot of intel that the Rams like Milroe, and maybe they want to take a flyer on him in the second or third round. So
that doesn't seem like McVay, does
no,
it?
No, but he took Stetson Bennett with a third round pick, so I don't really know what he's doing with quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those coaches sometimes get in their own way.
They get a little squirrely, right? Yeah. They think I can save anybody and turn anybody into an NFL guy.
It'd be funny if Dallas drafted him. Boy.
Buddy. I did have that brief moment when the Cowboys were making, what were they, 12th?
Yeah, 12th.
In the first, I had that brief moment of like, God, what if they did? Do it, Jerry.
So
do
good.
It, Jerry. Do it, Jerry!
I don't think Cowboy fans would know what to think today.
No, I don't think they know what to think in the first place, but let alone if that was their draft pick.
Let's put a pin in some NFL draft stuff. We'll get back into it. We didn't really dive in yet on Connerly and Harmon, what we think of those landing spots for them.
We got to talk about all the Huskies that went last night, too. I mean, impressive list.
Why?
Why not?
Just taking shots.
Why not?
God.
You see how many of the first-round picks were SEC and Big Ten players?
All of them.
13-9.
All
22 out of 32 from those two conferences.
That's crazy.
Thanks to Washington and all their first-round picks.
It's
the most
Big Ten players in round
up.
One, right?
I think they
set the record last night.
Yeah.
I think it was 11.
Sounds about ready there for that to be used next year in college football in the playoff rankings.
Oh,
how many first-round picks do they have on those two conferences?
A few Big 12s. You had the one Mountain West. You had the FCS.
Yeah. Highest
Dakota State.
Picked Boise State player ever, JNT, at 6. So.
Ah, yeah, that's a pretty cool little stat.
We'll get back into the draft. Let's talk some NBA. Howard Beck of TheRinger.com, longtime NBA reporter joins us to get his thoughts on the playoffs so far and the Trailblazers as they're trying to rebuild and get into the playoffs as well. So Howard Beck joins us for the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beat.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Feel Good Friday, brought to you as always by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Boy, oh boy, did we feel it yesterday. It was a great day for them to bring back their summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see.
They got something nice coming too soon in the next week or two.
It's great here in the future plans for Pelican.
Teaser.
Things to be excited about, man. They'll be out at the golf tournament. Pumped. It's going to be a great summer. We've talked a lot of NFL draft today. Did you know the NBA playoffs are still going on?
Yes, they are.
And they had games last night, and they have games again tonight.
The Clippers whooping that
nugget.
Whoa,
what
ass.
The hell happened there? Joining us now is our good friend from The Ringer, co-host of The Real Ones podcast, Howard Beck. You can go follow him on Blue Sky, covering the NBA for a long time. What up, Beck? How we doing today?
What up, guys? Good morning. Appreciate the kind intro. Thank you for the Blue Sky shout-out as well.
You got it. I mean, I'll ask, and this kind of, I'm going to go 30,000-foot view, and then we'll kind of hone into some specifics. We're, about a week into the NBA playoffs, maybe give or take. Biggest surprise to you so far?
Ooh, biggest surprise. I don't know that there's anything that is particularly surprising yet. I guess I was a little shocked at how badly the Grizzlies got blown out in game one of that series against the Thunder. And then I was surprised last night while watching one of the other games to look up and see that those same Grizzlies were up by like 29 points at some point until Ja went down. I thought that team was kind of ready to fold as the season was winding down anyway. So I guess I'm not entirely shocked, but still, like, you know, when they were down by like, you know, 55 or whatever in game one, that was pretty surprising. But like the competitiveness of a lot of these series is exactly what A, we hope for, and B, pretty much what I expected. Like, I thought the Pistons were going to give the Knicks some problems, and they have. I thought Warriors Rockets could be pretty intense, and it has been. You know, I like what we've seen so far, and you know, you don't expect a lot out of the 1-8 and 2-7 series. The Warriors Rockets, like the Warriors, aren't your average seven, mm-hmm. but the other, you know, the other 2-7 and the 2-1-8s, like those are what you kind of expect, that they're going to be lopsided because that's just the NBA.
Are we going to see major fallout in Memphis and Milwaukee if they end up? We think Memphis is over now. It's 3-0, but are we going to see major roster fallout from both teams if they're both out?
It is the question. I think one of the, you know, fascinating things about the NBA is that, you know, every I don't know if this applies to the other sports. You guys tell me. I've tuned the other sports that long ago. I don't feel like other sports have as much of a consequence factor hanging over, like this constant fear where if you lose too soon in the playoffs, that may be it for your team. That may be it for this group. That may be it for your superstar who's going to decide I want out now. It ups the stakes, frankly, and I think that's, you know, a good thing. You know, it keeps franchises on their toes, and it helps generate some of the fan interest and talk shows like yours and podcasts mm-hmm. like the ones I'm on. But I do think that you know, it's real. In the case of, let's say, the Bucks first, we've seen a bunch of these inflection points with Giannis prior to this, where it looked like things are trending the wrong direction. Oh, they got Drew Holiday. Oh, they won a championship. Oh, now things are trending the wrong direction. Oh, they went out and they got Dame Lillard. He signs another extension. But, you know, this is the NBA. Nothing is forever. And it would not shock anyone, I don't think, as loyal as Giannis has been, if he, like Dame Lillard, his teammate, will finally reach a point where he says, you know what, I tried. I stuck it out as long as I could. It's not working. Yeah. That's how Lillard ends up in Milwaukee, and that's how Giannis could end up somewhere else this summer. And given that Milwaukee doesn't have a lot of other avenues to improve their roster, I just don't see what other choices they really have. That said, you don't trade him unless he says he wants to be traded. In the case of the Grizzlies, look, there's been speculation around the league for months that, you know, maybe they would move off of Ja. Zach Kleiman, the Grizzlies GM, made a very emphatic statement after some of those rumors circulated earlier this season that he had no interest in trading him. But, you know, they're about to flame out in the first round. They fired their coach before the regular season even ended. I'm not going to be surprised if the Grizzlies make a move this summer.
Interesting. We're talking with Howard Beck, covers the NBA, has for a long time for The Ringer, co-host of the Real Ones podcast. You can go follow him on his Blue Sky, howardbeck.bluesky.social. I look at Denver, man, and I'm fascinated by them. I'm a believer that Jokic is the best player on the planet. I know a very hot take, but he amazes me every time I see him. Not even in the MVP conversation, just all that he can do on the floor. They fire their coach. They fire their general manager, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks before the playoffs, right? They just won a title 2 years ago, and now here they are. They win game one. You're like, all right, maybe Denver's going to save face a little bit. You lose game two in a heartbreaking fashion, and then you just get blown out of the floor, blown out of the gym in game three. What do you make of Denver and where they're going in that series and just what that bigger picture means for a guy who just won a title and was at the top of the sport 2 years ago?
Yeah, people got really carried away when they won that first championship saying, oh, is this going to be the next dynasty? It's like, guys, they've won one. Can we wait until they've won two before we start talking about potential dynasties? The thing is about that team, from the moment they won the championship, they won that championship based on like this kind of perfectly calibrated group around Jokic, right? Gordon and Porter and Jamal Murray, KCP, like they just had this really good, tight-knit group that read each other well, that functioned. It was just like the synergy was off the charts, right? But this wasn't a super team. It was like one, generational star with Jokic, and then a borderline star in Jamal Murray, who's never actually made an all-star team, mostly because he gets hurt. But we know he's an all-star caliber player. But it's just the margin for error was always kind of thin. And then, you know, they lost, Bruce Brown and Jeff Green the first summer after the championship. Then they lost, KCP. And it's just not the same. The depth isn't there. The guys that Calvin Booth drafted that he was so insistent that Michael Malone play and saying, like, these are our new rotation guys, well, they just either haven't been ready, haven't developed quickly enough, or maybe just aren't good enough. Mm. And the depth isn't there. The Westbrook thing has kind of, been all over the map. It's, as always, it's a roller coaster with Westbrook. And they could be down 0-3, guys. Like, they won that first game in overtime, and the Clippers had their chances. This could very easily be 3-0 in the Clippers' favor. I picked the Clippers in this series, and I think they're going to win it. And I think, yes, we're going to add Denver to the list of the teams you just mentioned previously about what happens this summer, how dramatic could it get. I don't think you're trading Jokic, obviously, again, unless he demanded out, and he doesn't seem wired that way. But they've got some serious moves to make to try to get this team back to contention.
Beck, which series would you say you feel more confident in being able to predict right now? Golden State, Houston, or Minnesota, LA?
Wow. If Jimmy Butler were healthy, I'd feel better about picking the Warriors to eventually beat the Rockets in that series. But now, Jimmy Butler's questionable for game three after that hard fall. So I don't know where to go with that one. Lakers, Wolves. I think I had picked the Lakers in seven in that one.
The confidence is waning right
now. Yeah, the tone of that confidence was not very high.
No. But you know what?
It's a great
series. That is what has been great about this postseason so far. And, mm-hmm. and even going into it before a single game had been played, you looked at this, and especially in the West, the Grizzlies were the only team in the field that you thought, they're not doing anything. Everybody else you thought, I won't be surprised if they somehow end up in the conference finals. And that's the parity that Adam Silver has wanted. That's the parity that we now have. And a lot of these series could tip either way, very easily.
Yeah, it's a good point. The NBA's in a good spot in that regard, and no, repeat champions. We'll see if Boston upsets that trend, but what do we got? Five straight years with a different champion. Your point on the Nuggets not being the next dynasty when they had just won one. Look, we got an NBA team out here. Sometimes people around the league forget that, but we still got one. They haven't been in the playoffs in a couple of years.
Does Howard forget sometimes?
He might. It's okay. You can admit it if you forget it from time to time, but we're always curious when we get somebody who covers the league wide on, like, We have talked about it till we're blue in the face for the last couple of months of how they did not tank this year the way they had tanked in previous years when this draft is better than it had been in years past. They didn't bottom out. Now they have the 10th odds in the draft lottery, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm just curious your general NBA view of what Portland is doing and where they're at in the landscape of the league right now.
I have not forgotten about Portland. It's one of my favorite cities, and I actually have some family out there. I wish the Blazers were better because it would get me out there, you know, on the company dime more often, and then right. I could see people. So get it together, Blazers.
Come on, Cronin.
It's tough. I mean, listen, I don't want to go too far back here, but like I thought they held on to Lillard and CJ as a pairing for too long. They should have pivoted sooner. I thought that they made the decision on whether to trade or build around Lillard after they'd already traded CJ. They held on to Lillard for too long. They kept staying on the fence. Like, are we tanking? No, we're not tanking. Are we going to trade these picks for Lillard help? No, we're going to keep the picks. Like, they just never picked a direction, and they finally had to trade Lillard, and now we know what the direction is. But once you do that belatedly, you get in this weird middle zone. I think it's to their credit. It's certainly, you know, if you believe in the basketball gods and karma that, you know, that they played hard and they finished the season strong, that's great. But what you really need is high level talent right now. And you kind of ruined your draft position. So it's a mixed bag. And they're still in some ways a little bit on the fence in that regard, but they've gotten some good young players, you know, and, you know, we're, you know, Scoot's making progress and, you know, Tamani Kamara may make one of the all defensive teams and had a really nice season. You know, Sharp, Klingon, like there's good pieces. I don't know that you have the one guy who you can now say this is our guy and we're going to build around him. I don't know that you have your new Damian Lillard yet. So that's the difficulty. And, you know, when you're not drafting high, which unless the lottery, you know, goes in their favor in a few weeks, then it's a tough road. And I love Portland, but like it's not a place that players generally flock as free agents, or at least not the superstars.
Right.
So you have to draft somebody or trade for somebody.
Yeah. Two parts here real quick. Did you vote for Tamani for all defensive team? I'm kind of curious because he's, you know, one of our bright spots from the season. And two teams we like to point to here in the media side, not we as a show, but other media members in the market, they love to point to Detroit and Houston and be like, well, they did what they did. Portland can do that. Do you think that's kind of fool's gold, though, to point to those two examples and say you can take that kind of leap in the next year or two?
So I was just looking it up while you were talking because I needed to double check to make sure. Yes, Tamani Kamara made my all-defensive second team.
There you go. Well done.
Well done, Ben. You know ball. You know ball.
I don't even need to go out of my way to pander. I literally looked at my ballot.
There we go.
Sorry, who were the two reference points?
Just Detroit and Houston, just bottom barrel teams that just took big leaps this year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, Houston's interesting because they still don't have, like, the one young guy who they're really built around, right? It's a little bit of everybody, and Amen Thompson may actually become that guy, but you thought it was going to be Jalen Green or Jabari Smith, and it's not. Detroit had Cade Cunningham. Like, they had the number one overall pick right. In a year where there was a really good player at the top, and you know, Cade has taken some leaps and, you know, Jalen Duren, and they brought in some vets like Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Schroeder. But they had the young guys who were already, you could see the outline of where they were going. I mean, they don't even have Jaden Ivey right now. You know, like when he gets back, you know, obviously next season, they've got a lot of really good young talent. I don't know that Portland is quite in that position yet because I don't know that there's enough of the high-level young players. They've got some good young players, but I don't know that you've got – again, it goes back to, do you have the guy? Detroit has the guy. Houston, it's more of a collective there. And, you know, they brought in their vets too, right, when they brought in Van Vliet and Steven Adams. But they're doing it kind of differently. I think the reason that a lot of people were skeptical of the Rockets making a run despite their great regular season record was they don't have, as far as we can tell, the guy, at least not yet. And I think that's, again, you don't want to be too reductive, but it's just the NBA and superstars win, and Portland doesn't have one yet.
Yeah, amen. Howard Beck, that's why he's great. Covering the NBA for a long time, works at The Ringer. Go check out all his great work, TheRinger.com, co-host of The Real Ones podcast. Give him a follow on Blue Sky. He's one of our favorites.
NBA legend.
As always, for the time, man, and keep enjoying the playoffs, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
There you go. Howard Beck covering the NBA.
Oh, he's got Tamani on the All-NBA team.
I like that. He deserved to be on an All-NBA
team.
Yeah. I always love when national voices come on and they're like, yeah, you know.
You guys going to pick a direction or...
Same thing. Screaming. Angry Pants over here. Is it Howard Beck and Angry Pants? See you in Angry Pants too.
Howard Beck and Mr. Angry Pants. Happy Friday, everybody.
Simpatico. It's an Angry Pants Friday. Let's talk a little NBA, shall we? The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The weather's beautiful. Go grab some Pelicans for the weekend. Go get their summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. The NBA playoffs still going on. Let's talk about them next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. We'll dive back into the NFL draft, the weekend preview. Haven't talked about the local guys. Lots still to get to.
How about landing at Connerly's house?
Yeah, he wasn't at the house, I don't think.
He just hugged him.
He did?
Oregon sent out the video.
Oh, really? He was at the house?
Yeah, he's only in Washington.
I guess that's not too far away.
It's probably a five-hour drive.
I wonder if he drove the train.
I mean, he probably took the PJ.
That's a PJ. That's a PJ flight. How long is that PJ flight? Eugene to I think he's in Auburn, Washington.
That's probably a 45-minute
flight. 45-minute flight.
Isn't Portland to Seattle technically 30, but it's really like 20?
PJ life must be so nice.
He's got a new deal. If he probably has unlimited access to the PJ.
He's got the PJ.
For, quote, work-related
purposes.
Yeah,
I saw a video. Maybe that was him and Harmon. He FaceTimed one of them last night.
He
that must
FaceTimed
have been Harmon.
Harmon was back in Michigan.
Yes.
And I'm glad that was a cool story about him and his mom.
Dude, I had no clue that his mom was going through that. Now we're going to end up doing this segment. Hold it. Hold it.
Some good pieces at OregonLive.com about it, too.
Put it in the pockets.
Local journalism matters.
Can I give a tip of the cap to somebody real quick on the NBA playoffs?
Oh, a tip of the cap?
I got a tip of the cap.
Very quickly.
Tip of the cap. What?
Were you going to yell that by your boss?
What do we got?
What's going to happen?
Hey, I'm the captain now.
Are we going to get shot into the sun?
None
of this matters.
We're all going to die anyways, right? He did. He cut your mic. Yeah, he did.
You don't think I can talk loud enough for the second mic to hear? You're absolute.
Yeah, no. Okay, there we go. Now I'm back. Can I give a tip of the cap to the timekeeper in Detroit last night?
Oh, the horn.
Putting a little. Let's give one more look. Let's give one more look. Little home
should
cooking.
Should that be the rule? Why should you not reshoot
the free
throw?
I will let you two NBA bros dissect that, but that New York fan was livid.
You can't change the outcome of the free throw.
Right, but the horn went off.
Well, the clock,
the ball
when does the clock actually start? When it hits the rim or
no.
When somebody touches it?
When it touches.
Yeah, so the clock started early.
Is that what it is? I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
Yeah.
Why would the clock start when the ball's on the rim?
Yeah.
Because it's in play.
Well, and the other thing,
yeah.
I thought.
Why are you guys asking this question? That's an easy question.
No, I thought all the NBA officials have their little frequency, like the thing on their back that they push.
When players inbound the ball and they watch it roll up, the clock's not, the shot clock's, you know.
Yeah.
It's a valid point. Valid argument.
It was a bad horn, but then, like, also, why did you have Jalen Duren inbounding the ball?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
He didn't
know
how to do a tip. He did the jump ball and he yanked it out like his volleyball spiking.
He gave one more shot at it.
And that Kate Cunningham possession.
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
A little bit of a dud. A
little bit of a dud.
Detroit's had a dud, and they almost still won the game. So
they somehow, I just saw people in New York just losing their effing minds after that situation.
Well, the end of that game took.
Took forever.
Nine years.
It took forever.
Wait, why are we doing timeout with a half second?
I know.
Just throw it in, Tibbs.
Yeah, what are you going to draw up with a half second? Like, come on. What? You don't need a timeout. I thought that was pretty funny. Like, a little home cooking in Detroit last night. Let's give them one more look. But they ended up losing. Knicks win the game 118.
Good game from Towns and Brunson, 116.
They both were phenomenal. Yeah, Brunson was just,
clutch player of the year.
Clutch player of the year. Super clutch at the end of the game last night. Every time he needed a bucket, he would go to the hoop and get one. A really good performance from him. We'll have some more on the NBA playoffs coming up in the final hour of the show. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Should we spray the line today? You guys want to gamble today?
No.
You got any lines you want to look at? I lost my OKC bet last night.
No. I'd pick it again if I was you.
I mean, I'm going to, yeah.
It's all over.
Well,
he's
I'll give
on
you
crutches.
Some. Look, we don't have to fully spray the line. I'll give you some bets for the weekend. I like some lines in the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs. I like some NBA lines as well. So we can dive over, pour over some lines for the weekend. We'll do it at 8:30. Some more on the NFL draft, including what is to come today and into the weekend, and a few final nuggies that we haven't gotten to from last night's first round. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.